Yes, Father.
So, Lord, bring on the mockers. Bring on the ridiculers. Bring on the laughers. We don't care because we stand strong in the name of Jesus. And there is nothing that will take that down.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, you are a warrior for us, and we will be warriors for you.
Yes.
We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Give us ears today, Lord, to hear what you want us to hear. Lord, bring words out of Pastor Pauline's mouth that ring through the Holy Spirit. Lord, just prepare our hearts right now.
Hallelujah.
Prepare us, Lord. There's so much more for us to know. Prepare us. We praise you, Jesus. It's all for you.
Jesus.
Amen, 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 amen.
Good morning, and where's Pam? No, different Pam. There.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, just a little update on the play. We had our first rehearsal on Friday, and things are going awesome. We have a friend in the congregation, Kara. She has volunteered to take over planning the snack thing for after the play, and she's going to be putting up a list on the bulletin board in the back, and you can sign up for things to bring to help us have a little something for the people that come to see us. And thank you.
When is that?
When's what?
When's the play? Yeah, when's the play?
December 17th.
December 17th.
At 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Here.
Is that like, what day of the week is that?
Sunday.
It's a Sunday night.
Sunday night,
December 17th.
Oh.
Here.
And play practices are every Friday night between now and then at 7 p.m. here at the church.
Every night?
Oh, every Friday
night. Friday night. Thank you to Anita and Robin in leading us in worship. That one song we were singing about Jesus, it's all about you, Jesus, and I'm sorry for the things that I've made it being Sunday morning service. I'm sorry, God, for making it not about Jesus, but having my agenda or my expectations. But that's what we're desiring here. What we're desiring here is that whatever happens, all that happens here, you would meet with Jesus, that he would meet with you, that he would blanket you with his peace and comfort, that everything that happens here would glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. First weekend in December, just real quick, Global House of Prayer will be here. There's some folks coming from Medicine Hat to lead us in teaching and worship. Let's read from the Bible a little bit out of Luke chapter 18. Is there anybody here that does not have a Bible of their own and would like a Bible? Because I've got one here for you. Anybody else need a Bible? Would like a Bible? No, Alvin. Here, Alvin, this gentleman needs one. Yeah. No, I don't think so. Who else needs one? All right, one or two. Prices like these, like it's, first one's free and the second one's the same price. Two for one, yeah. Okay, and I've got more. If there's other people that need one, we've got more. We're not going to run out anytime soon. So Luke, read with me a little bit out of Luke chapter 18, verses 35. Then it happened as he was coming, that would be like Jesus. Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight. My thought is that maybe that's you this morning, where Jesus is passing by, and what you need to do is just call. Say, Jesus, stop for a minute, because he's close by, and Lord willing, he's here with us this morning. Because of his word, I have confidence, knowing that he is here. And where two or three are gathered, he's here in our midst. Jesus is here, and maybe that's you today. You need to just call out to him. That we will do everything we can to help you call out to him this morning. There'll be, after the service, there'll be people here that will pray with you and for you if you like. You just call out. Let us know. Jesus is close by and he wants to meet with you. Yeah. So, what else is I going to say? No, not yet. Alvin's got some good news. Pauline is preaching this morning, and that's going to be good. And like I say, at the end, afterwards, there'll be time for ministry. And if we need to interrupt things right now and pray, we'll do that too. So, yeah, Lord, have your way. Have your way in this place. Have your way with us today, God, in Jesus' name.
Good job. Thanks, buddy. Hallelujah. Amen. All the guys that were at the retreat last weekend, I want you guys to come up. Come on up. Don't be scared. Don't be shy. I'll have to go out to the audience and bring you up here. Hallelujah. So that whole weekend, this past weekend there, I just sensed people's prayers, whether you guys were praying for us or the prayers that had gone on before. But I tell you, I just sensed God's prayers, the prayers of the saints to the Most High God on our behalf. And boy, I tell you, we had such an awesome time. I was just like, oh, man. You know, just the Saturday night or the whole weekend, everyone participated. Not one single man did not have input. And they were asking about, another person had asked me, says, "Well, who are you getting in to come to the men's retreats? Like, you know, Billy Graham or one of these guys, you know?" And I said, "No." I said, "We're just, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost." Amen? And we just do it the way the New Testament does it. Everybody participates. Everybody. So I've asked a few of them to share a little snippet of what happened last weekend and how things went for them. Amen? So I guess Doug's right in the front row. He wants to be number one here. So here we go.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I got to, much to my shame, I confess, I wasn't expecting too much when I went out there. I was a little grumpy because I had to take Saturday off, and I like preaching the gospel to the poor at the kitchen, and that's my job. And so I went out there, men's retreat, you know. Pastor Bob said, "Don't call them men's retreat, call them men's advances." But the Lord showed up. In great power and glory. Like, man, it was incredible. One of the brothers gave his testimony Saturday morning, and it just broke it open. And I tell you what, like, You know, God dwells in the praises of his people, but I won't be too long, Ellen. God dwells in the praises of his people, but he also dwells in the confessions of his people. I've seen that in great and mighty ways at PK events and stuff. When you get men humbling themselves before God, God just really loves that, and he really shows up, and he does healing, right? Just incredible. Like, I was just thinking of Matthew, one of my favorite verses in Luke 4:18. Jesus stood up in the church, in the synagogue in Nazareth, and he says, he's quoting Isaiah, and he said, he takes the prophet, the scroll of Isaiah, and he unrolls it, and he goes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that's what he did, eh? Like, he healed the captives. Like, how many were, when they were born again, were completely healed and totally made perfect? Nobody. Oh, a couple. Good. That's good. The rest of us have a little bit of baggage that sticks to us, and we go back, and if we take Jesus with us, he can just heal us. It's just awesome, and he did. So praise his name.
Amen. So what we're going to do, maybe we'll just start at this end and start with our brother here.
Amen. What am I doing? Lord just did some amazing healing and brought a bunch of brothers closer together.
I was really touched last weekend, and just how the Lord knit our hearts together was really powerful. And I'm walking in a new level of freedom this week that I've noticed that I haven't had before. So glory to God. Yeah.
Well, that was nice and short.
Gotta leave room.
You know, the greatest church is when everybody is an individual, and you can participate in who you are. You know, in here today, in this church, God is here. We gather in his name. Same thing that weekend there. We gather in his name over there. And there was some good teaching there. Really good teaching, right from the Word. This guy, those people that were teaching, they were just like you and me. They were not big guys that you came from out of town. They were equipped by God to do God's work. They just recognized to do God's work. And that's what they did. They recognized them, and they took the Word, and they were teaching from the Word. You know, it was not about them. It was the Word, and it was so good. And life would change. That's what the testimony is. God changed lives. That's weekend and today, right here. Huh?
Hi there. I surrendered to the Lord in the Retiree Man Center, and I was changed big time. I mean big time. I felt butterflies in my heart, like the Holy Spirit, after a prayer in my cell. Didn't care who saw me. And he made me humanly perfect as can be, but not godly perfect. I do make mistakes at times. I do trip and fall, but the Lord Jesus picks me up. And the retreat, which was, what was it called again? Men's Advancement? Yeah. Anyway, that was a lovely time in the Holy Spirit's presence, God's Spirit presence, with the Holy Spirit's fire. And I will always pray for fire of the tongue for myself and for my family and everybody that I love. And as well as for you people, I do pray for the Potter's Hands Ministry and the kitchen and people that are homeless and drug addicts and ones that sell drugs. And especially Muscogee's area, who are in dire need of help and that they're being deceived by the enemy. And I do pray for the non-believers. My ex-wife was a non-believer, now she is. But, yeah. My daughters were gone to church with me for a long time. And Jessica, who was just a baby, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years old, she told us about a dream about Noah's Ark. Nobody told her about Noah's Ark. She described it. She described the detail. 2 animals walking in one by one with an old man standing there waiting for them. And we were amazed. God has something for her in store. And yeah, I believe that she will discover what it is. And she's been a believer all her life. Her sister Rebecca, not so much so like her mother, believed in the same things, but they are believers now. I'm not sure if they go to church, but she's still living in sin at the moment. God bless her, Lord. Anyway, thank you and God bless. Bye.
I was just impressed with the humility of the men out there last week. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and how the Lord just met everybody.
And then, so amazingly, he dug down into our childhood and brought out those things that we buried so long ago and yet had not been totally confessed or given to the Lord. And so many men stood up and lifted it up to the Lord, and we got cleansed and healed. Praise the Lord.
I went out for stall day Saturday, and what really struck me is a lot of these guys were pretty tired from Friday night. Some of them didn't sleep much, but they were all attentive. You know, they had expectations on what God was going to do. Other than Doug, he had to come around a little later, but he did. But, you know, everyone was open to what God wanted to do to them. They're, you know, open discussions back and forth about things. Nothing was right or wrong. Everyone was looking to move forward with God, and it was a great time.
Well, I showed up Friday, and, well, I didn't really know what I expected, so it's just I figured the Lord was going to show up, and, well, he showed up in a very, very, very big way. Brought us all together and started formulating his the chinks in our armor for his army. So thank you.
Hallelujah. I thank God so much for the retreat, because the kingdom of God is the kingdom of power. Because when you seek God with your whole heart, and God is there. The retreat, he was so powerful. So powerful. Even the power, when, I don't know, I'm still shaking. I'm still shaking. Even when I came just this morning, when I was here, worship, I just hear the power of God, boom, on me. And I really thank our pastors. And I want also to invite other people. When we have like another men's retreat, please, you come. God is working. God is changing people's life. A doctor can heal the body, but God, he heals a human heart, because he knows what is in our heart. He knows us better than ourselves. Please, I thank you so much. May God bless you.
Thanks, Fortan. When Alvin mentioned to me that there was going to be a men's retreat again this fall, I've been to about 3 of them before, and I'm not really sure why I didn't feel very enthusiastic about this one, but the Lord said to me, why don't you offer to help Alvin with this retreat? Why don't you offer to take a session? So I did that, and then I prayed and asked the Lord what I was to share with the guys, and the Lord led me to talk about the heart. And so that's Proverbs 13, chapter 12. Hope deferred makes a heart sick, but when desire comes, it's a tree of life. When I was coming to church this morning, I live in Penhold, and when I drove in this morning, it was completely foggy, and it really never was what you see outside there till I came just past maybe Home Church, Word of Life Church. We're just coming past there, and then all of a sudden it completely cleared. And I make this analogy is that's very much like our heart. Sometimes when we're, as Christians, we're going through this journey and it seems kind of foggy and it's a little bit hard to find our way. And so I just encourage the guys by teaching on the heart to search our hearts. God wants us to search our hearts because there's things inside all of our hearts that probably don't line up with the Word of God or that are hurt or wounds or whatever. And I just want to thank all the guys here for the privilege of just being able to share and how open the guys were for ministry and the opportunity to minister. And there was a number of people that ministered that night. In fact, my brother right here, wow, we cut him loose, and you should have seen that. Well, that was awesome. He was praying up a storm for a couple of different guys, and he was right on with the Holy Spirit. So that was awesome. And anyway, I just want to thank the Lord that it exceeded my expectations.
What to share about? There's a lot of things I could. One thing that was came up for me was course correction. I have a tendency, I don't know about anybody else, but I have a tendency to get busy with life and just in the day-to-day struggles and things, challenges that you deal with, and pretty soon it can really harden you, and pretty soon sometimes you might not even be opening your Bible or seeking the Lord. But I find that going to these things, it really helps. The Lord brings a lot of wisdom and revelation as well. He reveals things that are in my heart that I need to deal with. Or He reveals past hurts you didn't even know you had, or that, you know, you don't even think about, right? You just kind of, you've moved on and you've sloughed over it or whatever. And one other thing that really stuck out for me was just the ministry to men out there who are married and have families, and I'm one of those men now, and it's really important for us men who are married to find healing so that we can lead our families. Not all of us had, you know, the examples that we needed growing up, you know. So, yeah, I don't know what else to share, but...
Yeah, it was a great time. I wasn't sure I was going to go, but leading up to that week, everything I kept reading was showing me that when a group of people would come together, and I'm in the Old Testament right now, they'd come together, and once they'd be together, the glory of the Lord would show up, and okay, I need to go to this group retreat. I'd never been to one, so I didn't know what to expect, but I get caught up in life too, and I went there with lots of expectations and expecting big things to happen. Jason shared about that course correction. He mentioned that the first day, and that just stuck right with me. Okay, this here is going to be the course correction for me. And it just showed me this picture of this big map of the world. You know, people that go on a trip, they put their pins, this is where I've been. And to me, for part of my testimony, going to that camp, that was going to be a pin on the map. Part of my testimony is going to be there. And that happened. Got to see, witness lots of deliverance for, I think, everybody. Definitely profited out there. Got to learn lots of different teachings about the heart from Tim. Got a teaching on intimacy that really stuck with me. To try to be more intimate with Linda. So I'm trying to fill her love tank every day. Not being caught up in all my worldly things, and forgetting about my family. But coming together as a group, I realize a lot of it is I don't got to do a lot of things by myself, and that's usually what I do. I figure I'd solve all my problems by myself, and just me and Jesus will figure this out. But I got a few numbers of a few people that, you know, that I plan on reaching out to. I reached out to one guy, hooked me up with some people to help me get through some of my issues this week, and I'm pretty grateful for that. And I guess if I can encourage anyone who didn't go to go, next time, because it was awesome.
God says that he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And the highlight, or whatever, the bright light for me on last weekend was, you know, the meeting together and hanging out with guys that I don't hang around with every day. And I'm losing the word right now, but it was good. It was really good. Another place God says, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. And I don't think he wants to beat us up with that. I think he's saying there's something really good in hanging around with other people that want to serve Jesus and to glorify him. And it makes it easier for me. It makes it easier for all of us when we're hanging around with other people that serve Christ. It makes it easier for us. Reminds us of what we're supposed to be doing. So, yeah, it's all good.
Amen. Yeah. Go back to your seats, guys. Thanks. Hallelujah. We're going to invite Pauline up here, but we just got really down and dirty, down and ugly, whatever, you know. But there's things I've been in my life since childhood that made me into the person that I was. And by getting together with trustworthy men where you can spill the beans, you know, spill the beans as it were, like maybe things that you've hung on to that you didn't think was relevant. So this happened to me back probably about 20 years ago, at least, something like that. Something that happened to me when I was just a child, 7 years old, and it messed me up for 40 years. 40 years I was messed up, and I couldn't rise to what God had for me, you know. And every time I tried to rise up, the devil would just step on me or pull on the meat hooks in my life. Amen? And so I came across two trustworthy men that I was able to share some deep-rooted things. And I didn't even know that particular situation had relevance to when I was 47 years old. I didn't know that. I was ignorant. I was totally ignorant about it. I was a Christian. I was spirit-filled, going to church, doing a Bible study, praying, and all that. But I didn't know that it had relevance in my life, and it kept me bound. And so I was able to share with these trustworthy men these deep-rooted things, and God changed me. God changed me. And this is what we're hoping for these men. Hallelujah. All you men that weren't there, maybe next time in the springtime, we're going to do another one. But come out, because I sense this time, like I shared earlier, everyone can share. Everyone has something to share. And we don't need a big name star. I mean, maybe someday down the road we'll get one. But for now, you know, God wants to heal us, the men at Potter's, Team Potter's. Amen? And it's not necessarily about the Potter's Hands Church and how big it is and all this. You know, there's the other churches around. Amen. But what we're dealing with is Potter's Hands. We're dealing with the men from Potter's Hands. Amen? And we had such an excellent time. Man, I was blessed. I was totally blessed. I was so encouraged. You know, and I told them, I said, listen, guys, I need your prayers. I desperately need your prayers. We need each other's prayers. Amen? If we don't pray for one another, man, we'll just go into the gutter. But praise God, by developing a relationship and fellowship like we did, it breaks down the barriers. You know, people think, you know, I used to think pastors were way up here. When I first got saved, these guys were right next to God. And for me to reach there, holy smokes, I was still dealing with a lot of sin in my life and stuff. But, you know, in reality, we're all on the level ground. We're all on level ground. Amen? Every man, woman, and child here, we're all on level ground because the cross of Jesus Christ makes it level. I'm no better than any of you guys. I have temptations. I struggle. But praise God, I know the victor. I put my trust in him. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. So that's where you guys ought to. So it just develops that relationship. And hey, you're struggling with this. Well, I'm struggling with that. This is how I've overcome. And I tell you, we bond together. We're a team. We're a team. Amen? You know, it's just not one guy going into the kingdom of God. It's just, you know, one person all by himself and just walking there. I'm only the lonely. No. We go as a team. We go as a church. We go as a body. We go as a group of men. Hallelujah. To see his kingdom expanded in the city of Red Deer, Central Alberta, and wherever else God takes us. Amen? So that's just a short blurb there. So praise God. Paulin? Yeah?
I just want to tell a quick story.
Good. Is it a true story?
This one's true. Yeah, this one's a true story. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So yesterday was Remembrance Day, of course. In World War I, there was like 60,000 Canadians that were killed. There was another 103 times that many that were wounded. So, like, we're talking about coming home blind, coming home deaf, missing limbs, messed up. In World War II, 44,000 Canadians died and 54,000 were wounded. And we stopped on November 11th every year to remember that, because we have a lot of privileges and a lot of comforts and freedoms that those guys paid for. They paid dearly for us, and now we are enjoying it. And even beyond that, there was one man who died for us that we would have a relationship with Jesus. And Remembrance Day is especially cool for me because in 1984, 33 years ago yesterday, I was baptized and gave my life to Christ. And he paid the price. He paid the price for me. Paid a price that I couldn't pay. Those soldiers paid a price that we didn't pay. We can't pay them back. We can't say thank you enough to all the soldiers and all the servicemen that paid dearly for us. That's my story about Remembrance Day. Jesus Christ paid the price for me. Yeah.
Hallelujah. So we'll just pray for our brother here. Stay with me. Hallelujah. So Father God, we come before you this morning. Pastor Stan and Crystal are enjoying the fellowship of their children this week, Lord God. So we pray blessings upon them that they'll just cherish that time together, Lord God. And our brother Paulin's going to open up the word of God to us this morning. We're asking you, Holy Spirit, to open up our hearts to hear what you have to say to us individually. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just dwell in this place richly. And we ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Brother Doug mentioned about the special day, November 11th. November 11th, to me personally, is also very special because 91 years ago, my mother was born, but she passed away into glory, December 31st, 2016. She paid also the price for bringing us up, her children. We enjoy the many benefits of her life. And I have been crying and praying for almost 5 days last week, thanking God, remembering the things when I recall, when I remember, when the Holy Spirit brought into my remembrance the good things that God has done upon my life through my mom. So November 11 is also very special for me. Today, I'd like to invite your attention to the Word of God. I was enriched also by the snippets, the short testimonies of the man that stood here a while ago. What struck me most was that when they were small, something happened to them and they didn't realize they brought also some baggages from their childhood. Until they know a time when the Holy Spirit can let them loose and free so that they can be men as God predestined them to be. My point is, as Christians, we need to realize that we are in a spiritual battle. You like it or not, if you follow Christ, you're already in a battle. So that is the topic that I'm going to share with you today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit may give light into your mind, even into your subconscious mind, so that it brings up the things into your memory, and those things you will submit into God. Pastor Stan, I know, has been preaching on this topic several times. This is a kind of repeat, but from a different angle. That's why we are going to read a passage from the scripture. So if you have your Bible, can I invite you, please, to open the book of Luke, chapter 8. If we have them on the screen, we will read from verse 26 until 39. Luke 8, 26 until 39. This is a story about the healing of a demon-possessed man. I'm not saying you as believers that you have demons. What I'm saying through this message is that you can be influenced by demons. You as believers, your spirit belongs to God. The Holy Spirit resides or lives there. It cannot be possessed by demon, cannot, because that belongs to God. But since we, man, is three parts, but one, our physical body, our soul or our mind, and then our spirit, these two layers, our physical body, can be affected, can be touched by these enemies. Even our mind can be influenced by these enemies. So we will read Luke 8 from verse 26 until 39. I'd love to read this together with you from the screen. 1, 2, 3. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear, so he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out, it is the end. That's the end. Thank you. It's amazing to see that Jesus met this man, and the disciples also with him, met this man, and after meeting head on with Jesus, there was an encounter. First of all, I'd like to say that we have to be aware that there exists a spiritual world. Many people do not want to acknowledge this. There is a spiritual world. I'm not trying to teach some esoteric teaching today, but this is the fact, and it is mentioned in the Bible, that there is a spiritual world that we have to be aware. And for preachers, for pastors, not to teach it, and for the congregation not to understand or to admit it, I think it is totally irresponsible. We do not want to stick our heads into the sand. No. Because I said, this spiritual world is real. It is very real. But you don't have to be afraid. I'm not trying to get you scared today by a message, but instead to give you some knowledge and some enlightenment, because the Bible says, Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow you if you are a believer. These signs shall follow those who believe that in Jesus' name you can cast out demons who comes from the dark spiritual world. And it's the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. And if you go down to verse 12, it says there, you don't wrestle with men like me. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These principalities come from spiritual world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's first. Against powers. That is second. Against rulers of darkness of this world. That is third. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the Bible is very clear about this dark spiritual world. So we need to be equipped as a church. Jesus does not let us loose without the equipment, without the weapons. We need to be equipped for a spiritual battle in our life. Our enemies are not flesh. They are not of physical matter like us, but they are of spiritual origin. How do you fight the spirit? Use revolver or weapons as you know it today. By what weapons do you fight them? I do not want you to think or to have a tendency in your mind when listening to this message today that in everything you will see the hands or the work of demon in this life. No. Do not take this into such an extreme angle that you see the work of demons in everything in life. We cannot blame on demons all things that have gone wrong in this life. No. Some are due to our own stupidity. I'm sorry to say that. I really apologize. We are in the same boat. So when did the spiritual battle commence for you and for your loved ones? Well, the answer is, it has begun for everyone, folk. It has begun. That's why we have to be strong against these enemies, against these foes, against these evil spirits. Now we call them evil spirits. Yeah, I know prayer is one weapon given by God to us that we can use to combat them, but prayer alone is not enough. Prayer is only partial to fight the enemy. That's why I believe Ephesians 6 provides us with the complete weaponry given by God. And by using them, we can stop the demonic onslaught. Or even we can be on the offensive, not just defending our turf. We can even go and attacking them in their hiding place. Remember, for more than 2,000 years now, these enemies have been undisturbed
in their turf. Now it is time for the church of God to rise. For God has given us power. And 1 John 4:4 says, greater is his power that is in us, that is in the church, than the power of all these enemies. You cannot forget your position in Christ. Remember Ephesians chapter 2. You and I are seated already in the spiritual heavenly realm, giving commands to the enemy. And when Jesus was about to leave his disciple, when he ascended up to heaven, what did he say to the believers? The last chapter of Matthew, or chapter 28, it says, all powers and authority has been given unto me. And this same power and authority he also gives to the church, to his body. So I think today it is not too outlandish to talk about a message like this, attacking the enemy, or not just being complacent, guarding our own turf. If you look at the sickness and diseases in life, if you look at the horrible events and activities which enter the lives of many every day that come from the dark spiritual world, I think as believers, as the triumphant church of God, you have to come out of the block fuming and smoking, if you know what I mean, not smoking a cigarette, but fuming and smoking against these spiritual enemies or foes. Let me emphasize this again, whether you like it or not. Spiritual warfare that you and I are involved in is a two-edged sword. You either fight the spiritual forces of the enemy, or you let them consume you or your loved ones. There is no middle ground. Back again to Mark chapter 16, where demons or devils are stated there. Actually, they are unclean spirits, and there are many, many, tons of them. There are many unclean spirits, and they are under the command of Satan. Remember, Satan is only one. And Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be at all places at one time. Only God can be that way. Amen. Satan is not all powerful. Only God is all-powerful, yes. Omnipotent. But let's remember that Satan has many, many networks. We know networks.
He has many emissaries at his disposal to inflict many bad things into your life. Again, let me say, don't get scared. God in you, his glory that is in you, is greater than the power of the enemy. And we know the mission of this enemy. John 10:10, part B, says that their mission is to steal, to kill, and eventually to destroy man. Why man? Because these enemies cannot hurt God. Cannot. But they can still hurt God's children. The very image of God. Amen. The evil spirits or the unclean spirits are able to enter a person. They are able to influence a person's thought process. They can bring sickness. They can cause pain. They can oppress you and your well-being until that oppression turns into possession. But again, I said, if you have the Spirit of God in your life, they cannot enter, they cannot touch. Your spirit cannot. That belongs to God. But many times these enemies try their best until someone gives up. So a Christian who is not well equipped or armored by God's weapon fully can be influenced, or let me say, can be coerced by the unclean spirit. But let me say again, cannot be possessed, since the ownership of your spirit, his spirit, as a believer, belongs to God. So knowing where the unclean spirit comes from, what they can do to you, and how we fight them back is very essential in our spiritual warfare. I want to mention briefly about the origin of the unclean spirits. You remember in the book of Genesis and chapter 6, verse 3, it says there, God speaking, my spirit will be with man, but there is a period of time mentioned there. Genesis 6, 3, my spirit will be with man, but 120 years. Now, this is very important to remember. It means the spirit of man remains with him in his body if he lives up to 120 years. If that man is a believer, when he dies, immediately his spirit is escorted by the angel to be with the Lord in heaven or in paradise. That's what the Bible says. If a person during his lifetime refuses, now this is a warning, if he refuses or rejects Christ as Lord, his spirit is not atoned by the death of Christ on the cross or not cleansed by the blood. So when that person who is not saved has died, his spirit and soul continues to exist. But out of the body, the spirit of such person, the Bible says, goes to Sheol. Sheol is a part of Hades. Sheol is a part of Hades for unsaved souls to await judgment. They are not judged yet, but they are being put there to await judgment. Let me give you this again. If an unsaved person dies, for example, at 80, his soul, before going to Sheol, wanders around in torment, in grief, and in sorrow. But before it goes to Sheol, it has then 40 years to wander around on earth. And at 120 years old, this unclean spirit must go down to Sheol to await judgment. Remember again, Genesis 6:3 rule applies here. So in short, an unclean spirit is the spirit of a person who is not saved and has died. The unclean spirit became unclean spirit. Since the soul and spirit continue to exist, there is no warm life body as you and I have today for it to occupy. So that's why it seeks a body to enter and to cohabit. And this happens many times with the consent and with the knowledge of the person whom it has entered. You may ask me today, maybe this unclean spirit is the fallen angel. There's no proof in the Bible that says that. Only an unclean spirit can incarnate. You know what I mean by incarnate? Living in this carnal body, in this corporeal body. Only an unclean spirit can incarnate into human beings. Angelic beings cannot do that. Fallen angels cannot. So what is the purpose of this unclean spirit in living people? Again, their purpose is to kill, to make people sick, to destroy lives, to take over the body they enter. When the unclean spirit is possessing their victim's body, that person, I'm talking about non-Christian now, that victim's body they enter, that person will totally be out of character. You can ask them, for example, their name, and they will give you totally different name. Maybe you have read in the news. About people who have committed unthinkable, heinous crimes. And when you ask them, when they are being interviewed, they will say, I don't know why I acted in such a way. Can you guess what is happening to the people like those? Can you guess what is happening to the people who are categorized as unclassified type of mental disorders? I know they have lost their minds, but I personally believe it has nothing to do with their mind per se. Anger, frustration, lack of control, depression, regression, and finally possession occurs. And when possession occurs, the person will act out of character. Remember the passage that we have read. And will do things he has never done before. So this is a very serious stuff. If you encounter things like this, you've got to be equipped well with the Word of God and the power of God and with all prayers, including the support from the believers. Remember the seven sons of Sceva in the Acts chapter 19, yeah. In chapter 19, there's one priest by the name of Sceva, this during the time of Paul the apostle, and he has seven sons. And these seven sons try to expel or to kick out or to exorcise the unclean spirits. But they are not gifted to do the job. What happened to them? They say, who are you? I know Paul, I know Jesus, but who are you? Defiantly, they say that to them. The point I'm making here is we should never play with the enemy like this if we do not live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We should never invoke the power in the name of Jesus to expel demon if we do not live in the power of that name. Let me bring your attention to Matthew 8:29. That verse says, what have we to do with you, Son of the Most High? Along that line, we have read also in the passage, just in Luke 8, but in Matthew 8:29, what have we to do with you, Son of the Most High? Have you come to torment us before our time? At that time, let's remember, only Jesus could torment the spirits, the evil spirits, because he had authority over the spirits as the Son of God. But for us today, this good news, this the source of our authority from Jesus, from his name, over the evil spirits. I mentioned already Ephesians chapter 2. And Matthew 28, verse 18, that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and we have authority over all the spirits, and we do it in Christ and through Christ. So instead of you being tormented by this evil spirit, why don't we rise up as the church of God to torment these devils, to torment these demons? This is all about spiritual stuff. Remember when the Israelites people on the way to the promised land, many thousands of them, they are on the desert. They don't have doctors, physicians, no pharmacies. They have only priests. But God has declared to them, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. God declares himself as Jehovah Rapha, God the healer. So when there was sickness among these Israelites in the desert, they did not go to the doctors because they didn't have any, as we know them today. They went to the priest. Healing was accomplished through the priest, because the priests were people who understood spiritual things at that time. They know, and this is very essential, they know that sickness and infirmities were spiritually derived. Not all. If you eat too much molasses or too much spicy thing, you suffer from stomach problem, it doesn't come from demon. And this is why, and this is the reason why the Israelite people on the desert at that time who were beaten or bitten by the snakes were instructed to look to the bronze image of the snake which was built for their healing, which is referring to Jesus, who has paid all for our sin, for our sickness, for our curse, when he was hanging on the cross, as stated in Isaiah chapter 53. He has borne all your iniquities, your sicknesses, your curses. He has borne all. So all you need to do by faith, look up to Jesus. You remember the verse, one of the verses that I love so much in the Bible is John 14:14. It says, what you ask me in my name, I'll do it. And Luke 10, combined with that verse, in verses 17, 18 until 19, in short, it says, I give you power over all the enemies, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. My conclusion today in bringing this message, maybe you are not like this demon-possessed man, as we have read in Luke chapter chapter 8. But maybe you have legions, not legions as spoken of in this passage. Legions means many thousands, 6,000? 6,000 soldiers. Not good soldiers. But legions coming, attacking your mind, your thinking process, days and nights. You have to stop them. You have the power. You cannot sleep because these legions keep attacking and coming into your mind and you lose sleep. It cannot be. You're a child of God. He has given you power. In closing, let me ask you some questions. What image from the story that we have read in Luke chapter 8 that best describes you at this time, at this point of time? Maybe you say, oh, I feel as if I am living in a solitary place now. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. You are not alone. You are not in a solitary place. The Holy Spirit, God's love, is always on you. Maybe second thing, I'm crying out to Jesus, just like this demon-possessed man. That's a good thing. Cry out to Jesus. He'll answer you. He'll give you help. He'll rescue you. Maybe the third thing, praise God, I am experiencing God's healing now. Continue to praise God for the healing that He has given you. But better yet, you might describe yourself at this time. Praise God, I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. You're listening to Him with your spirit. You are soaking in His love. In His glory, you are soaking yourself in His glory because you are sitting at Jesus' feet. And the best of all is, I'm like that man, once demon-possessed, but then cured by Jesus, and I'm now on my way telling everyone, I'm telling from the housetop the great Jesus, the good news, what Jesus has done for my life. So as a church, I would encourage you, you and me, let's do that. By the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you all.
Good stuff. You have freedom and liberty to stay or to go. If you would like prayer, there will be folks here, up front here, that be ready and willing to pray with you and for you here in just a minute. But may I, in Stan's place, because Stan does this better. But let me bless you in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the living God Almighty lift up His face toward you and give you His peace. The peace that passes understanding in the name of Jesus. May His peace be on you. Go and enjoy that peace. Enjoy the freedom. that we have in Jesus Christ. And Robin and Anita, if you wish, if you'd like to just play some soft worship music here for us, that'd be awesome.